talked about generosity. We talked about generosity and how being generous is a lifestyle. It's what you do. It's how you frame the decisions that you make. It's how you frame. It's not even just about finances. It's about your time. It's about the stuff that you have and how freely you give of it versus how freely you cling to it. How much you desire to keep it. So we talked about this idea of this scarcity cycle. The reason that so many people don't give, the reason that so many people hold back, hold on to so much of what they have is because they live in this idea that God gives us blessings, whether they acknowledge it or not, God blesses us. And so the next thing we do is we consume. We use it all up. We spend it on ourselves. And then we eventually run out. We find ourselves a little short at the end of the month, at the end of the week. And so we lack. And the next thing we do is we resort to this fear. What am I going to do now? How am I going to make it? And so we spend it all on ourselves. We end up lacking, and then we live in this fear. And so what do we do after that? We start spending more. As soon as we get it, we spend it more because we think money will make everything all right. And it keeps us in this cycle of fear and this cycle of scarcity. But God wants to do something different in your life and in your heart. And so he desires you to live in abundance. He desires for you to live in abundance, which says that when God blesses you, you get to give some of it away. You be generous. And with your faith in that gift, God multiplies it. He multiplies what it goes to be used for. He also multiplies it in your own life and what you get. But he doesn't do it just so you have more stuff. God multiplies it so that you can give some more. And so when God multiplies it, when you see the fruit of your labor, when you see the fact that you had an extra $200 at the end of this week or whatever, and you were able to help a family who didn't have food enough that week, and you were help them pay for their groceries, when you see that, God inspires you to hopefully do it some more. And it's this cycle of abundance that when you give, God multiplies, your faith grows and increases, and guess what? You want to give some more. And we get ourselves out of this cycle of lack, this cycle of fear, and we do that by being generous, by generosity. And it started, we talked about, with the tithe, committing the very first 10% of everything that comes in to God. And that's the beginning of, it can be the impetus to be even being more generous down the road. Last week, we talked about being abundant givers. And then under this idea and this cycle of abundance versus the detrimental cycle of scarcity, living in this cycle of abundance, being able to give more because we choose to, we want to be abundant givers. And when we do that, we want to give spontaneously when there's a need. We want to give strategically. We want to plan it into our lifestyle, into our budget from the very beginning of the year and say, God, I want to be able to give this amount of money this year. And then you plan for it and you save to give. And you also want to give sacrificially. You don't always want to give where you're comfortable because many times God will ask you to step out in faith and give even though it hurts a little bit. Even though you're not sure where, how you're able to give that much, but if it's God telling you to do that, you give sacrificially, he will bless and pour it back into you. And we heard testimony after testimony last week of God fulfilling that promise and doing that in people's lives. But today I want to talk about one of the biggest opponents of generosity that we haven't really touched on yet, and it is really the backbone of selfishness. Now, this is something that we do not have slides today, so pay close attention. I'll make sure I emphasize all the correct points. But if you want to follow along in your notes, in your bulletin today, just you're going to have to listen, okay? So don't fall asleep, and you should be fine. So today we're talking about something that is the opponent of generosity, which is it's the backbone of selfishness many times. It's really what can set us off to be selfish people, and that is trust issues. Trust issues many times holds us back from being generous, from living that lifestyle of abundance, that cycle, that mindset of abundance, in having generosity at the backbone. So many times we hold back. We keep for ourselves. We want more so we can have more, so we can keep more, so we can store more, so we can pile it up somewhere in a bank account or in a sock drawer or in a cookie jar. So many times that's our mindset, and trust issues are a big part of that. Maybe it's with your friends or your family members. You have some trust issues and you don't trust them very well, and so it keeps you back from being, holds you back from being generous or from giving of yourself or opening up to them. Maybe it's authority figures. Maybe it's the government. You have trust issues. I don't know why you would have trust issues with the government. Perhaps some of these are justifiable, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Maybe it's subordinates. Maybe you're a manager over people, and you don't have enough trust in them to do the tasks well, and so you micromanage and you do it all yourself and overwork yourself because you don't trust. Maybe, as we'll find the root of all of this, maybe you don't trust God enough. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take a look at the personal and the human side of these trust issues, why they happen, how they can manifest, what are some signs of maybe trust issues in your life, and then I'm going to look at the faith solution. I'm going to look at the human side of the problem and then the faith solution, what we can do, what needs to happen and needs to change to help some of these trust issues in your life. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the reasons for a lack of trust, reasons for these trust issues. And the first one are past hurts, The idea that betrayal, maybe in the past someone has turned their back on you, they have stabbed you in the back when you thought they were on your side. Someone you had put a lot of stock in or depended on really closely, they just fell through or backed out and just left. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it was an ugly divorce. Maybe it was an amicable divorce. But it's left this hurt in your life, and you haven't been able to really trust people or trust God as much as you should. Maybe a disappointment that goes along with betrayal. Maybe it is family tension. How many of you know family dynamics are complicated? Okay? Family dynamics are complicated. And maybe it's this tension, this disagreement, this long-standing rivalry or feud in your family. I don't know what it is, but maybe that's caused you, something you've seen growing up caused you to keep your trust packed away and not give it away. Maybe it's a trauma, something very serious like assault or a past death in the family, violence. Maybe you've been violated or felt violated before. These are all things past, these past hurts that can keep you from expressing trust, either in generosity, in generosity, in giving of your trust, really. It's not easy to give your trust away because these things have hampered it, and you've been neglecting trusting in the past. But all of these circumstances that we have, all of these past hurts, these past things that we've gone through or experienced, color our worldview, how we see others, our first impressions, our vulnerability, the presuppositions we get when we meet people. It all hinges in a very human way on our past identity, our past experiences. They color how we interact with the world, how we interact with people. And that's one way that we might lack trust. Another way might be just for independence. Independence. This idea of selfishness. I just want to be in control. I don't want anyone to control my fate. I don't want anyone to direct where I have to go or have any plans for me whatsoever because I want to control where I want to go and do what I want to do when I want to do it. Right? We desire to call the shots. As humans, as a people, we want to know what's happening and when. We often think that the universe revolves around us. It's this cult of personality that we, especially in America, have developed. In other cultures, in other societies, they're much more communal, and so they rely on and care for and interact with other people in their society much easier. In America, we're like, I want to be the Schwarzenegger. I want to go in and save the day. I don't need anybody else. I'm a one-man show. I can go in and get the job done. I don't need anybody. I can do it, especially guys. I know what it is. We want to be the solo. We want to be the tough guy. We want to do it on our own. We don't need anybody. And it's this independence that inspires selfishness, and so we don't trust anyone because we can always do it better. We don't trust anyone because we got this. We don't want to be tied down by anyone else's choices. We want to do it ourselves. The third thing, and probably the biggest thing underlying many of these ideas, is fear. Fear. First, fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown keeps us, once again, from trusting. Well, I don't know what's coming, so I'm just going to do it all myself. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm going to micromanage. I'm going to take care of it all right here, right now, so that I don't have to worry about it then, because who knows what's going to happen in the future. It's this scarcity mindset. It's the reason that so many people consume instead of give back, because I might need this money. I might need this money. We talked about this idea in Malachi, where God gives seeds. God gives us seeds and bread to eat. The seeds, the bread to eat is obviously for us, because what do you do with bread? You eat it, and if you don't eat it, it's going to go bad, especially if it's freshly made. It's going to go bad really quickly, right? So the bread is for us to eat to survive, and God also gives us seeds. These seeds, they don't do anything in your hand if you have a bag full of seeds, resources, time, cash. They don't do much if they're in your hand. You have to plant them and water them and care for them, and then they grow into generosity plants, as the scriptures say in Malachi chapter 3. But this scarcity mindset says, hold on to those seeds. It says, hold on, because we don't want to let go. And then we do it because we're afraid of what might happen if we plant a seed. What if it doesn't grow? What if I don't get another plant? What if it dies? What if something happens? What if? And it's this fear that keeps us from giving more, that fear that keeps us from being generous with a multitude of things, not just money. Understand that. I'm not just talking about money today. I'm talking about anything. You have 144,000 seconds in every day. How are you using them? How are you spending them? How are you giving them? Are you wasting them on yourself? And you need to take some time for yourself. But are 100,000 of them going to yourself? Are you giving your time away as well? Trust issues, they manifest in many different ways. And so you might have said, oh man, I really struggle with fear or past hurts. Or maybe I am independent. I'm kind of a lone wolf, and I want to take care of everything and do it myself. And trust issues, when you have them, when you've experienced them, when these are something you deal with, they identify themselves as manifest as control, is the first way that trust issues manifest. And if we don't trust God, if we don't have this trust, we try to micromanage and control others and our situations. We try to be controlling and take control, take hold the reins of our life, right? We try to take hold the reins of the things that are going on, whether it's in our job. Maybe we don't trust others there, and so we get in everyone else's business and tell them exactly what we want to do because it has to be perfect exactly the way we want it. Sometimes we have to release some of that control and say, it's not going to be exactly the way I would do it, but it is a presentable project. And when it's not done the way, you can instruct and you can train and people can learn to do things better. It's getting rid of, letting some of that control go. And that's in the form of trusting people. Lack of trust in others leads your desire to dictate their actions. All of the details must be accounted for. And it oftentimes masks itself in accountability. Oh, I just want to make sure they're accountable. I just want to make sure that all the ducks are in the row. I just want to make sure everything's perfect. Maybe it takes a step back from the perfect mentality and say, I need to trust more. This is a difference between being prepared and micromanaging as well. God tells us, the Bible tells us to be prepared in every situation, to be ready for certain things, to be prepared, especially spiritually. But being prepared for things in life and micromanaging and being selfish are completely two different things. Being prepared gives you the freedom to give generously. If I am prepared, if I'm prepared with my budget or my finances, I am more prepared to give. Because I'll know where there's wiggle room. I'll know where I can sacrifice this week if I want to give. Maybe this week you only spent $20 on groceries, but you've budgeted $50. It's a really low number, probably. I'm just saying. Maybe you have an extra $30 wiggle room, and you can give it as a blessing to someone. I don't know what your life experience is or where you are, but when you are prepared, you can be more generous. But when you micromanage, you are really saying, it's all about me. The reason you micromanage is because I want it more. I want to save. I want to be prepared because who knows what happens? And then it comes down to fear again. The second way that trust issues may manifest is insecurity. As insecurity. And if we don't trust God, if we don't trust God, if we don't exercise this trust, if we don't give our trust away, whether to God or to others, we often don't see the value in us. You know, you have value. You are valuable. Each of you today has value. You bring something to the table. God has given you gifts and blessings, and He gives you these things because you have value. Just the very fact that you exist makes you valuable to God. God valued you so much, He came and died for you. And if we don't trust God, that if we don't trust that God is who He says He is, if we don't trust that God will take care of us, if we don't trust that God will bless us, if we don't trust that His grace is enough, then we like to do it all ourselves. We like to be God because it feels good to be in control. But it's really at its root insecurity. And we may lash out. It may hold us back from the potential of what God has in store for us because we don't think we're worthy enough. We don't think we're worth it. But you are. And God has a plan for you. Or maybe you don't see the gift that He's given you as valuable. Maybe you don't see the spiritual gift or maybe you have a gift of administration or organization. You think, well, I want to be a prophet. I want to go around healing people all the time. I don't want to just be administrative and behind the scenes. No, don't long to be an ear when you're a perfectly good foot. Right? Isn't that what Paul teaches? Do what God has blessed you with, what the abilities that He has given you to be, do it with all of your might, with excellence, and God will pour out rewards on you. Contentment, peace, His joy when you're functioning and acting in the ways that He has designed you. But all of these trust issues can be compared to and all come back to a lack of faith in God. A lack of faith in God. And so we want to talk about, lastly, the pathway to trusting. And this is the most important part. This is the faith solution. If you find yourself saying, man, I really do struggle with some of those things that we talked about, and I just don't know how to overcome them, you're probably a normal person, okay? Feel your pulse. You're probably alive, if that's what you've said that. Because we all struggle with these at some point or another. It's natural. It's reasonable, especially those past hurts. Oh, they can mess you up big time. They can mess you up big time. And we can deal with them. Sometimes, a lot of times, counseling is a great way to get them out in the open, to talk with another Christian counselor, a believer, or even just any old counselor. They can help you work through some of those past hurts that you have. But there is a faith-based and a spiritual solution to trusting. And before we talk about that answer, we gotta back up a little bit. Back up way a bit, rewind and ask, what is trust? What is trust? What does it mean? What is its source? Where does it begin? Excuse me. And the Bible literally translates the words that mean trust. They literally mean a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. A bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. And so trust, we learn, is an action that is based on feeling or being secure. Feeling secure in who you are, in what you do, in where you go, in how you give. And this security is not faith. Trust is different. Excuse me. Trust is different than faith. They are not quite the same thing. Faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 tells us that it is the gift from God. And trusting is what we do because of the faith that we have been given. Trusting is what we do because of the faith that we have been given. God gives us each an amount of faith. God places this ability to believe things. To trust is to be secure and confident in that faith. Do you understand? Faith is different than trust. Very similar, and they're very related. Hebrews 11 talks about faith accepting and believing the revealed truth of God and the gospel of Jesus. Nevertheless, the practical consequence of faith in God is trust. So the practical application of having faith is trusting that it's true, which we prove by living out our full acceptance of God's promises day by day. It is not the same as faith, but it is deeply connected and rooted in faith. It is actually, trust is the result of faith. Trust is the result of faith. When you have faith, you will easily trust. But we talked about this and how faith is really the root of trust. Trust is the result of faith. So we ask, how do we increase our faith? How do we have more faith in people, in things, in God, in our subordinates, in our managers, in people of authority? How do we have more faith in God? And faith is like a muscle. If you want to have more faith, you need to exercise it. You need to exercise it. And you know what happens when you exercise? You break down muscle to build it up some more. And so sometimes things need to shake your faith a little bit. Sometimes you need to hit a wavy patch where you're a little stumbly to see God come through in the end and lift you back up on your feet. But we need to exercise our faith, build it up. And we do that in different ways. The first is way of testimony. First is a way of testimony. By testimony, the hope of others can inspire faith and grow our faith in us. When you hear of the amazing stories of, when you hear the story of that lady who was healed of cancer this morning, it builds your faith, doesn't it? You think, wow. Maybe I shouldn't stop praying for that thing that I've been praying for so long. Maybe God really is working. Maybe he is moving. Maybe he is active today. When you hear testimonies like that, last week we mentioned several testimonies of how God blessed and reassured and encouraged and multiplied the gifts of people who gave sacrificially, who gave spontaneously, who gave strategically. And they inspire us to do the same. They grow our faith. And so the first way that our faith is able to be exercised, it's like a muscle. If you have a testimony this morning, don't keep it to yourself. Spread it on there. Post it on Facebook. I don't care. Write me a little note and say, hey, this happened. Woo! Let's celebrate with you. Let's pass it around. Let's let it draw us to worship God, who is the creator and giver of all good things. Let your testimony raise someone else's faith. Don't say, oh, wow, that was awesome. Yay, God. And that was it. Tell someone, shout it from the rooftops, spread it around. Let your testimony grow our faith as a body. The second way is the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When you want your faith to grow, go to the word. Go to God's word. Go to his promises. Go to his reassurance. Look at the big picture. How God created this beautiful world, this beautiful planet that he loved and said it's perfect. He placed everything here just the way he wanted. Man, of course, messed it all up. But he still, from that very moment, had a plan to make it better. And even when his chosen people, when the Israelites, when the Jews, they went astray and they went off to one way or the other, they disobeyed what God had placed in front of them, the rules that he had set and the statutes that he had set out for them, he still longed to bring them back, longed to take them out of their captivity and sent judge after judge after prophet after judge to say, come back, Israel, come back to me, your first love. And he sent Jesus Christ for you and for me and for them to bring redemption, to make that cycle complete, to connect us to the source that is Father God, the loving one who never stops desiring us to come back to him. Faith comes by hearing that. When you hear that from the word, it inspires faith. There are several lies that we talked about. Lies from the pit of hell that keep us from trusting. And the first is this idea of our past hurts and that we can never get out of, we can never be free from them. They will always haunt us and plague us. Past hurts will always define who we are, our relationships, our interactions, and that is a lie. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. What the word of the Lord says to combat these past hurts is to offer forgiveness. When you've been betrayed, when you've been disappointed, when you've been hurt or violated or abused in the past, we need to offer forgiveness. Pastor, that doesn't make sense. Do you know how hard that is? Yeah, I didn't say it was easy. But it's the solution. Even if the other person isn't forgiving or repentant or sorry, we need to offer forgiveness. Forgiveness heals us way more than it heals the other person. Forgiveness works miracles inside of our own soul and our own spirit way more than it does to the other person. And we've talked about this before, but even if we don't really mean that forgiveness at first, even if we don't really mean I'm sorry or I mean I forgive you, we need to speak it out, begin praying it, and at the same time asking God, help me to forgive, no matter how small or huge the offense. When we begin praying that, I promise you, if we mean that prayer and we begin praying forgiveness and speaking it out over time, I can't tell you how long, God will begin to change your heart. And that offense, that betrayal, that abuse, that situation, whatever it is, eventually it won't bother you as much anymore. And eventually you'll be able to even think about or look at that person without angry or negative thoughts coming into your head. Whatever it is, I don't care what has gone hurt you in the past. The solution in God's word, the truth of God's word says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's not easy. It's going to take work. Oh, it's going to take time. It's not a magic trick. But I promise you it works. There is an end result that you can look forward to. The second lie that we talked about is independence. Galatians 6:3, when we look in the truth of God's word, it says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Well, that's a fun verse. It means you don't have it all. You can't do it all. You might think, oh, I can do this. I can be the lone wolf. I don't need anybody. I don't even need God. But you can't. We need to understand that we have no privilege outside of God's grace. The only reason we have any benefit or privilege in this world is because of the grace of God. It is the greatest lie today in this world. I can do it. I don't need anyone. And I have everything that it takes right here in me to get it done. It's a lie. Because if we had everything, we wouldn't need God. He wouldn't have needed to send Jesus. The gospel would be a lie. The heart of the gospel says, I'm broken and I need someone to fix me. If we don't believe that, we can't receive the grace that he wants to give us. The lie is independence, and the truth is we have to be dependent on who God is. The third lie we talked about is fear. This overwhelming fear of the future, this fear of what will or what if. 2 Timothy 1:7 promises us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Today, if you are a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit, that spirit this verse talks about, living inside of you, that same spirit should be casting out all fear. If you ask him, he's already in there. He can get rid of it. He can kick it out. And it may not be immediate, but it could be. Have you tried? If you live with this fear inside of you, the Holy Spirit is able to bring peace where there once was fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If you ask him, I believe today that he will take it away. And when he takes away that fear, that independence, those past hurts, that unforgiveness you may be bottling up, you can be more generous. It releases you to being more generous, to having this lifestyle of generosity. The third and final way, that we can have a pathway to trusting is through, first we talked about via testimony, encouraging others, sharing our good news, sharing what God has done, even if it's a little thing. God, help me find my car keys. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. It raises people's faith. Through the truth of God's word, all of the lies that we face in this world, all of the things that hamper our relationship with God can be combated and struck down and twisted and turned around for God's glory if we go to the truth of his word. And thirdly, and finally, the words of the Lord, the actual words of the Lord. When the Lord speaks, we need to listen and not just pray. How much time do you spend actively stopping and listening for God to speak to you? How many of you actively hear God's voice on a weekly basis? I promise you, God is speaking to you. How attuned to it are we? How much do we want to hear from God? Maybe everything in our life just drowns everything out and we don't have the availability because we're not taking the time purposefully to hear from him. And maybe when we stop and listen, maybe God doesn't say anything there. Maybe he does, because he does all the time. But maybe he doesn't. And a day later or an hour later, something pops into your head. A person pops into your head, an idea that you weren't thinking about. So you see something that reminds you of something else and you think, wow, maybe that's from God. He speaks, people. He is alive and active. His Holy Spirit can talk to you all the time. I have a story that I want to share with you, and it's by Lisa Turkhurst. How many of you ever heard of Lisa Turkhurst? She's a popular author, and she's spoke via video at a ladies' conference last year. And I just want to read you this story from her blog about her own experience with trusting and how God spoke to her through a certain event. She says this, "Life doesn't add up. People don't add up. And in the rawest moments of honest hurting, God doesn't add up. All of which makes us hold our trust ever so close to our chests until it becomes more tied to our fears than to our faith." That's where I was when Bob and Maria stuck out their hands to shake mine and invite me to their mountain home. I needed God to untangle some of my trust issues. They were having a retreat at their mountain home with an eclectic group of some of their favorite people, and somehow I got on the list. It was all going well until someone handed me a helmet. We were about to do a ropes course. And not just any old ropes course. The grand dismount of this course was a leap from a platform to catch a bar suspended several feet away. Upon making it to the finale, I started immediately looking for the emergency exit because there was no way in God's green earth they were going to get me to jump. And then Bob appeared. With his enormous smile, grandfather gray hair, and arms magnetic with the purest grace, he drew me over to the edge. "Lisa, this isn't about finishing the ropes course," he said. "This is about conquering your hesitancy, resistance, and fear. These ropes holding you will only let you slightly drop if you miss the bar. Then they will catch, and you will absolutely not fall." He whispered as if he had a window view inside my soul. I looked at the space between the edge of the platform and the bar. I saw death. Bob saw life. What a visual for the word trust. What we see will violate what we know, unless what we know dictates what we see. I'm going to say that again, because there's a lot of words. What we see will violate what we know, unless what we know dictates what we see. Bob knew the ropes would hold me, and he knew that my ability to survive this jump had absolutely nothing to do with my efforts. I was held safe standing on the platform. I would be held safe in midair, and I would absolutely be safe whether or not I caught the bar. Bob whispered, "You are absolutely loved. Now when you are ready, jump." I can't tell you how long I stood there. It felt like days and milliseconds all at the same time. The world swirled and tilted and shifted around me so much that twitching a muscle fiber, I forgot to breathe. I couldn't even blink. I would imagine you've been in situations that have felt quite paralyzing as well. And it's in these times I have to tie my heart to soul-steadying verses like this and say, "For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" Hebrews 13:5-6. Just like those ropes wrapped around my body, holding me to the course from beginning to end, God's word can wrap our souls with steady assurance. The peace of our souls does not have to rise and fall with unpredictable people or situations. Our feelings will shift, of course. People do affect us, but the peace of our souls is tethered to all that God is. And though we can't predict his specific plans, the fact that God will work everything together for good is completely predictable promise. Bob whispered one final thing: "It's already done." I don't know exactly what he meant, but I know what my soul heard. God has already caught me. His goodness and love have pursued me and won me. I just need to jump into that reality. And without any other conscious thought, my soul kicked in where my brain could not. My feet exploded off the platform and into midair. I touched the bar, but I did not catch it. But I didn't need to, because trust caught me. God used a ropes course to teach Lisa and to guide her to bring a truth out in her life. God speaks in many, many ways. Are you listening? Can you hear it? And when God's word speaks, it is for you. It is for your heart, in your situation, in your circumstance, and it is to counteract whatever lie the enemy is trying to throw at you in that moment. God says you are redeemed. God says you are valued. God says you are loved. You are worth it. You are unique. You are my son and my daughter. You are a prized possession. I value you. What are you listening to today? What has affected your ability to trust? Do you trust others? Does it hold back your generosity? Do you hold trust too close to you? Do you trust those who are close to you? Do you trust your leaders or your subordinates? Do you trust God? Because I promise you, it all comes back to your faith in God. If you don't have faith to trust that God is who he is and that you are who God says you are, it's going to affect every aspect and area of your life. You won't trust to be generous. You won't trust to give your time or even your trust away to others. How have you dealt with trust issues in your life? Let us pray. I feel led this morning to first ask if there's anyone here that does not know the Lord. Because the first step to trusting and believing in who God is to get to know him. And let me promise you, he wants to get to know you. He sacrificed himself for you. He gave himself for you. If you don't know him this morning, you say, I want to take that step and I want to receive the Lord. Just raise your hand right now. Nobody's looking around. Maybe you're a believer here today and you say, I have found Christ. I have called upon his name to bring salvation to my soul, but I've been living far from him. I've taken steps because of fear, because of hurts, because of insecurity. And it's led me down a path that I don't even like to admit, but I don't even acknowledge. If that's you, if you say, I am a believer today and I just need to come back, slip up your hand right now if you need to ask for that repentance this morning. God, we thank you for your grace which you poured out on that cross, Father. Lord, that undeserved favor that you give us. We deserve punishment. Lord, we deserve the result of sin, and yet you offer us that life raft. Lord, you offer us that gift of salvation because you loved us so much. You call us worth it. You call us valued. You call us redeemed. You call us a prized possession. And we think you're a prized possession, but you called us that first. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see ourselves through your eyes, through your opinion of us, through your word, through your words. Lord, build our faith so that we can trust again. Lord, help us in that way and see us through. We love you today. We praise you and we honor you. Amen. Amen. Go forth and trust today.